sports at the Bells Mall.
Xboxes.
iPods.
DVD players.
Hats, t-shirts, and more.
The OG.
How about the grand prizes?
Two big screen plasma TVs from Herter's Appliance.
An all-inclusive trip to the Pro Bowl in Hawaii.
A trip to the Super Bowl in Miami. The OG.
You've never seen NFL parties like this before. It's me, Gonzo, every Monday night for the most fun, the best girls, the best drink specials.
Unbelievable prizes.
So get your butt down to the Olympic Garden for Sunday and Monday night football.
It's no wonder they call it
the OG.
Jimmy Diggs here at Godzilla. Join us every Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. for the most brutal, intense, uncensored show on the net, Daily Noise, right here on LBRocks.com.
And now back to whatever crap you're listening to.
Originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas. The following is a live LV Rocks original webcast. Visit LVRocks.com for studio cam and live chat room.
And welcome back to another edition of Subject to Discussion. Once again, live on LVRocks.com as well as on S2DRadio.com. And that was the producer, Mr. Consoler. I am the turkey for this Thanksgiving. I'm Sean Max, Sean Daly. Call me anything you want. Just do not call me late for dinner. You're welcome. And happy Thanksgiving. And tonight, the... let me slow down and read my script. I write it out every day, every week. I don't even read it. And part of the Progressive Podcast Network and antiradio.net. And tonight, after the Political News Digest, we'll be discussing current events from the blogosphere with Sean from the blog politicalcritic.com. And then in the second hour, Steve from Doctor Who DVDFAQ.com will be on to talk about Doctor Who. And then ending the program will be the mad rocket scientist Dr. Net Ranger to talk pop culture as well as Battlestar Galactica. And we'll get into things with the ratings and everything else. And before I dive into the news digest, I'm going to go over some of the headlines. Of course, the USA Today in the Life section talks about the Michael Richards racial diatribe, which pretty much finished off his career at the Laugh Factory on Friday. And apparently yesterday, Seinfeld went on Letterman, and then they brought on Richards by via satellite. And, of course, the studio audience didn't have a clue what was going on. They thought it was a comedic skit. And then Seinfeld had to tell the audience to be quiet because it was a real thing, I guess. So, and then also USA Today in the Nation section and page 15A to talk about the what's behind the Democrats' climb in the Mountain West. They talk about the how the West used to be all, you know, conservative country. For Republicans used to rule it for years. Pretty much the Democrats would write off the Rocky Mountain West any kind of election. But now they say Dateline is Denver. It says a wave of Democratic blue is splashing the fast-growing Rocky Mountain West, which until recently was so Republican that all eight states in the region went red for President Bush in 2004. It goes on, Democrats are celebrating their Election Day seizure of a U.S. Senate seat, a governorship, three U.S. House seats, and major offices in the Rocky Mountain states. It goes on, that extends a trend started in 2002 with winning three governor seats. Now Democrats are hoping to break the Republican lock on the Inland West in a 2008 presidential race. It's true. I mean, they have a Democratic governor of Montana, Brian Schweitzer. And a lot of people are saying, hoping he'd run for president. So I don't know. We'll see about that. And we're right here. Somebody else talking. University of Maryland, Baltimore County political scientist Thomas Shaler says Democrats should develop a strategy for 2008, which would cede the South to the GOP. Shaler, in his book, Whistling Past Dixie, Democrats could reach the needed 270 electoral votes by winning Colorado, Arizona, Nevada, New Mexico, and other targets in the Mountain West. Where are we at here? So, oh, that's interesting. And what else do we have here? And also, the governor of Iowa, Mr. Vilsack, is going to be making a swing through Nevada in the next couple weeks. So he's going to go on a tour to gauge support in key battleground states. He'll be coming through Nevada. So, and in their little snapshot, they say changing parties. The Rocky Mountain states are showing a Democratic shift. In 2002, all but New Mexico voted for Bush, and all eight had Republican governors. Since then, Democrats have gained five gubernatorial seats and made advances in both the U.S. House and Senate. So I thought that was interesting. So, and now we'll dive into the Political News Digest. And in the chat room, let me get the chat room up here. Only a couple of us are in there. Chris 1019, Giorgio, Moto Psycho, and myself are in the chat room. So welcome, Moto Psycho. I don't know who that is, but... And also this little thing on Yahoo had just popped up. Barbara Bush's phone and purse stolen in Argentina. Wow. I wonder if Bush will be firing missiles at them now. See, one of U.S. President Bush's daughters has been robbed of her mobile phone and purse in Argentina despite her heavy Secret Service protection, ABC News has reported. Barbara Bush's purse was snatched at a Buenos Aires restaurant during a night on the town, but the Secret Service agents did not notice. ABC said, citing police sources. What the hell? I mean, Secret Service was going to sleep at the switch or something like that, or maybe they're throwing a few back as well, and they weren't sober enough to keep an eye on that. And this is Barbara, named for the president's mother, and her twin sister turned 25 years old on Saturday. Very, very attractive-looking girl. Of course, what they say, that one girl, daughter, her middle name is, was it Barbara or Jenna Anheuser-Busch? So I don't know, because of their drunk driving, underage drinking escapades that they had. So anyway, this next one is also from today, from the United Arab Emirates. It says, Elder Bush takes on son's Arab critics. Former President George H.W. Bush took on Arab critics of his son Tuesday during a testy exchange at a leadership conference in the capital of this U.S. ally from the Abu Dhabi and the United Arab Emirates. Bush goes on, senior says, my son is an honest man. Yeah, what is he drinking? Bush told members of the audience harshly criticized the current U.S. leader's foreign policy. The oil-rich Persian Gulf used to be safe territory for former President Bush, who brought the Arab leaders together, blah, 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 for Kuwait. Somebody else got up and said at this conference, we do not respect your son. We do not respect what he's doing all over the world. A woman in the audience bluntly told Bush after his speech. Wow. Bush, 82, appeared stunned as others in the audience whooped and whistled in approval. Oh, yeah, it's the King Father Bush. You don't say anything like that against the royal family of the Bushes. Oh, are you kidding me? A college student told Bush his belief that U.S. wars were aimed at opening markets for U.S. companies and said globalization was contrived for America's benefit at the expense of the rest of the world. Bush was having none of it. He said, Bush Sr. says, I think that's weird and it's nuts. And also when I told the kid, I think you need to go back to school. Oh, that's nice. That's nice. You know, I said, this family, that family, and then, you can't disagree or voice opposition to, the father or either one of the sons, or, you're considered stupid, you have to go back to school, or you're anti-patriotic, or you're bigoted, and you're in favor of slavery in 19th century America. I mean, it's just crazy. And also today, Congress Do-Nothing, 109th Congress, passes the buck to the 110th Congress. This is the Do-Nothing Republican Congress. I can't get a damn thing done, so they're going to pass the buck to the Democrats now. Republicans vacating the Capitol are dumping a big spring cleaning job on Democrats moving in. Congressional leaders have opted to leave behind almost a $500 billion clutter of unfinished spending bills. Isn't this amazing? They can't get a damn thing done, and then they control the whole thing, the White House, the Congress, the Supreme Court, yet they can't get nothing done. A move that promises to consume time and energy from the 110th Congress's agenda. Such a move would leave the new Democratic majority with the responsibility of passing the nine remaining spending bills, totaling almost $500 billion for government programs ranging from NASA to the national parks. Congress passed a stopgap spending bill last week, and next month they plan to pass a third such measure to keep the government's doors open into the next year. This is unbelievable. Also, several Bush administration legislative goals, including a domestic wiretapping bill, a Vietnam trade deal, and a multi-billion-dollar measure to prevent a cut in fees to doctors treating Medicare patients, we put off until 2007. So actually, Harry Reid, Pinky here in Las Vegas, says this is only the latest example of why the American people rejected this do-nothing Congress at the ballot box earlier this year. Absolutely. And y'all know I'm not a fan of Harry Reid, but he hit it right on the head. You know, they got a couple months left. Why don't they get in there and pass some of their bills, get this stuff done? Oh, no, let's push it off. Let the Democrats worry about it, and they'll try to hang them with it the next election season. Also from today, Oberman schools Bush on Vietnam. Oberman had a special comment about Bush being in Vietnam, and Bush was had no clue about the parallels between Vietnam and the Vietnam War and Iraq. So he's just going to take off those rose-colored Mr. Magoo glasses and look at the situation in Iraq. You know, oh no, he's going to wait until James Baker comes up with his report. I mean, you're the president of the United States. You know it's failing in Iraq. You know, make up your mind. Make a decision. Oh, no, let's wait for and the Democrats are doing the same thing. But Bush is in charge, and he should make a decision. You know it's failing. Rectify it. Anyway, Oberman says, our departure from Vietnam emboldened no one. Communism did not spread like a contagion around the world. These lessons from Vietnam, Mr. Bush, these priceless, transparent lessons, writ large as if across the very sky, are still a mystery to you. He goes on, we'll succeed unless we quit, he said. No, sir, we will succeed against terrorism for our country's needs towards building up the nation's wounds, binding up the nation's wounds, when you quit. Quit the monumental lie that is our presence in Iraq. And in the interim, Mr. Bush, an American kid will be killed there, probably tonight, or if we're lucky, not until tomorrow. And here, sir, endeth the lesson. So Loberman's been really in letting him have it, and good, so... don't really ask me out here. And yeah, who's that clown the other day is up in the Congress? Abaze was saying, oh, he thinks it's not as bad now as it was in August. Are you crazy? More troops have been killed in October than in August. Is that he concludes that he calls that an improvement? Anyway, and also the GAO urges Congress to review Iraq policy. As Democrats prepare to take control of Congress, a congressional report recommends that lawmakers re-examine U.S. policy in Iraq and Afghanistan. A review of efforts to stabilize and rebuild Iraq and Afghanistan tops a list of policies that are in need of fundamental reform and re-engineering. This is the Government Accounting Office, for the Congress, the Republican-controlled Congress. The GAO said in a report released on Monday, after 3 years of effort, the security situation in Iraq continues to deteriorate. Iraqi security forces have limited capabilities and divided loyalties. The central government has limited ability to govern the country, and reconstruction lags. The report also noted that in Afghanistan, the Taliban was rebounding in some areas, and that deteriorating security conditions were undermining efforts to rebuild there. So, isn't that something? Democrats who wrested control of Congress from Republicans in elections this month are trying to boost pressure on Bush to overhaul his strategy in Iraq, where 2,864 troops have died and sectarian violence is raging. So, I don't know. Everybody else sees there's a problem over there except for him and, Rumsfeld and Cheney. You know, Cheney's pounding the drums going to Iran. You know, now, of course, Iran, doesn't have nuclear technology according to the CIA, but that's, who are they? A bunch of liberal organization, but the CIA, oops. Oh, well, the hell with them, right? Also from today from a blog.
Did you watch that OJ? Ted Koppel
no.
thing on Discovery Channel?
No, was it good?
Yeah,
was it about Iraq?
He was in Iran, actually.
Oh,
But it was a good...
really? What's going on over there?
Well, just talking to the people.
Really?
And just how they view Americans and about the whole...
They don't like us
everything,
very much.
Talking about the religion and the different religious people they have,
They don't like us very much, do they?
Well, surprisingly, the older people... It really boils down to the... When we shot that plane down...
Mm.
back in, I don't even know, 20 years ago?
Yeah.
When we shot that civilian?
The jet? Yeah, by mistake.
By mistake. I don't know, that's possible. But anyways, but surprisingly, the younger youth, they're, to the few people that they talk to, they like love Americans.
Really?
So they have a different dichotomy of like the older people. And,
hate us.
But the younger kids, they love us.
Really?
So it's weird.
Huh. Hope they re-air it, huh?
Oh, I'm sure they will. It's Discovery Channel. It's a cable channel. They re-air every program 20
except
times.
For Doctor Who.
Yeah, except for Doctor Who.
And then from the Brad blog, Brad DeLong said, this week in journalism, we open with a warning to the usually reliable Financial Times. The trajectory is downward towards failure. Indeed, this has been the case for more than 3 years. Ever since Pentagon officials decided to put far too few troops in Iraq, at that point, Financial Times, you should have pressed the delete key. You do your readers no good service by printing the writings of people who pretend to think that it was Pentagon officials who decided to put far too few troops in Iraq. It was Bush, Cheney, and Rumsfeld who decided to do so. Again, Mo, Larry, and Curley of the American and political and our leadership. You know, the but at least Rumsfeld's getting out, so he's the Larry. We're still stuck with them. Cheney is the Mo, and Bush is the Curley, so maybe Shemp's going to join him now with that Gates clown going to run the Defense Department, so who knows. And also, for Rudy, is star power enough? I can't understand how people are willing to vote for Rudy Giuliani as president, if for president. He isn't seeing a chance. I stand a better chance of getting to be president than he does. I mean, come on. It says dirty tricks are already spreading around, dirty tricksters are already spreading word in conservative states about Rudy Giuliani's liberal stance on guns, gays, abortion, and even his personal life. But some say he can still compete for the GOP presidential nomination. He said, you can sit him down and ask him, okay, Rudy Giuliani, what's your plan for Iraq? 9/11. What's your plan for education? 9/11. I mean, you know, need to go beyond that. And then there's footage I saw the other day of him in drag, dancing with the Rockettes and some other thing. So that's
good. He's a fag. Quiet, numbskulls! I'm broadcasting.
And then his poor wife. You know, he announced he's divorcing her on TV. She had to find out watching television that she's getting, you know, her husband's divorcing her. And he trots out his mistress all over TV. I mean, I don't know. And then yet, then there's the poll saying here. Giuliani leads McCain. McCain must be spinning. Leads McCain for GOP nomination. This is from today. Former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani made official Monday, filing paperwork to launch a 2008 presidential campaign. The action comes as Giuliani is a top choice of Republican voters nationwide, earning support from 24% of likely GOP voters. McCain, considered by many as to have the early advantage, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, the girl with the David Letterman smile, are close on Giuliani's heels. Right here. In the general election matchups, Giuliani is tied at 46% support with New York Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton. However, Giuliani leads when matched against Senator Barack Obama and former President Vice President Al Gore and blah, blah, blah. Giuliani often referred to as America's mayor. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Following for his leadership on the 9/11 terrorist attacks, he'll be wrapping himself in that if he's running. That's all he has to run on. But I don't know. McCain, he's probably furious that Giuliani's in front of him after all that. And then don't forget, he made Bush make that Bernard Kerik his Homeland Security chief. Remember all that? And it turns out that Kerik was fooling around with that author. What's her name? Publisher, Judith Regan. Remember all that? And then they had a condo in New York City. It's supposed to be used for the police to get away, to unwind. It's in a different area of the city, but he was using it as a love nest for his mistresses. I mean, what in the world? I don't know. And also from today, White House brushes off CIA draft on Iran report. It's from Reuters. The White House dismissed a classified CIA draft assessment that found no conclusive evidence of a secret Iranian nuclear weapons program, the New Yorker magazine reported. The article by investigative journalist Seymour Hersh said the CIA's analysis was based on technical intelligence collected by satellites and other evidence like measurements of the radioactivity of water samples. The CIA found no conclusive evidence as yet of a secret Iranian nuclear weapons program running parallel to the civilian operation that Iran as declared to the IAEA. And of course, the White House had to, you know, destroy Seymour Hersh. You know, they're, oh, he's a hack and everything else. Blah, blah. You know, he's a CIA. That's another thing. You know, everyone's also said there was nothing in Iraq, too. And they just say brush them off, you know. And Cheney knows, you know. So if Cheney knows, you know we're going to bomb them, you know. How does he know? I don't know. He's supposed to be the expert and everything. But everything he said all along has been wrong about Iraq. Then on Monday, a blog from Kevin Drum. He said, yes, things can get worse. After running through all the options available to us in Iraq and acknowledging that they have little chance of succeeding, Suzanne Nossel briefly raises a point that gets nowhere near enough attention. If we don't to begin a planned exit, there's a good chance we'll find ourselves in an unplanned one. It's surprising that by now we haven't experienced the Iraqi equivalent of the 1983 bombing of the Marine barracks in Beirut, or the dragging of a corpse of an American soldier through the streets of Mogadishu a decade later. But it seems likely that day will come. Oh, I think it is. Actually, it already has come. Didn't they do that already? Didn't they pulled some poor troop's body out of a helicopter or something, dragged the body through the streets of Baghdad? And I thought, didn't they string up some bodies on a bridge somewhere in Iraq? I think that's already happened. But and also from Monday, from Fox News, Crystal says, I fear political support for Iraq will crumble among Republicans in the next 3 months, Fox News reports. On Fox News Sunday, Bill Crystal, he's one of the neocons that was beating the drums for the Iraq war. Don't forget him. He said that the current Iraq strategy is Iraqification. What does that mean? It's failing and has been discredited, noting that CENTCOM Commander General John Ebezade said he finds despair about Iraq when he comes to Washington. Crystal says he was very worried that if conditions in Iraq did not improve within 2 to 3 months, political support will crumble, not among Democrats, but among Republicans. This is Ebezade. He's another one needs to go, too. I mean, he can't see it or there's problems in Iraq when there's more troops dead, killed in October than in August, and he says things have gotten better since August. So what are you looking at? You know, maybe the sun's coming up earlier, and he's considered that an improvement, I guess. Or maybe that huge embassy complex has come along, and that's what he considers an improvement. I don't know. And also from Monday, from the Washington Post, embittered insiders turn on Bush. The weekend after the statue of Saddam Hussein fell, Kenneth Edelman and a couple of other promoters of the Iraq war gathered at Vice President Cheney's residence to celebrate. The invasion had been a cakewalk, Edelman predicted. Cheney and his guests raised their glasses, toasting President Bush and victory. It was a euphoric moment, Edelman recalled. 43 months later, the cakewalk looks more like a death march. And Edelman has broken with the Bush team. He had an angry falling out with Rumsfeld this fall, and he and Cheney are no longer on speaking terms. I'll be lucky that Shooter Cheney didn't shoot him. He believes that the president is ultimately responsible for what Edelman now calls the debacle that is Iraq. Edelman, a former Reagan administration official and one-time member of the Iraq War Brain Trust. Oh, are you kidding me? That's a joke right in itself. You don't have to write that one. Is only the latest voice from inside the Bush circle to speak out against the president or his policies. So it could all pointing fingers at each other. Just keeps going. And also, speaking of people turning on the administration, Henry Kissinger, Iraq military win impossible, he said. Military victory is no longer possible in Iraq, former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger said in a television interview broadcast on Sunday. Kissinger presented a bleak vision of Iraq, saying the U.S. government must enter into dialogue with Iraq's neighbors, including Iran, if progress is to be made in the region. That's what Baker said. You got to talk to your enemies. You got to talk. You know, when he was in with Senior Bush, they talked to Libya, they talked to Iran, they talked to Iraq. Anybody who considered their enemy, they talked to them. At least they had some kind of dialogue with them. Kissinger, he says, if you mean by military victory, an Iraqi government that can be established and whose writ runs across the whole country, that gets the civil war under control. Oh, see, Kissinger is calling it a civil war. And a civil war under control and sectarian violence under control in a time period that the political processes of the democracies will support. Well, it's a long sentence. I don't believe that's possible, he told the BBC. So even Kissinger is turning on the Iraq war and Bush. And also from the Sunday Telegraph, and he's talking about the Republicans' plot to bring down Pelosi and Clinton with her. Republican strategists plotting their party's comeback after a lost control of Congress have identified the First Lady of Democrat politics as a key target in the 2008 White House campaign, even though she will not be running. Senior GOP party operatives told the Sunday Telegraph that they are already coordinating plans to attack Nancy Pelosi, the liberal California congresswoman and speaker-in-waiting, who suffered a damaging rebuff from her own party caucus this week. Oh, blah, blah, blah. It's O'Reilly's been beating up on her, too, calling her the San Francisco values, Nancy Pelosi. That's a bunch of BS. Everybody says she's a very moderate, so. And Republican strategy is not only to undermine Mrs. Pelosi's control of the House, but also to associate her in voters' minds with Hillary Clinton. So, see, they're going to try and say 2 years of Pelosi is going to give you an example of what 4 years with Hillary is going to be like. This says Tom DeLay. He's an expert on election family values and ethics in Congress, isn't he? And also the latest polls. And we had from Ipsos, the Congress, approve is 26%, disapprove is 70%. Bush from Ipsos is 36 approve, disapprove 62%. Rasmussen has Bush at 42% approval, disapproval is 56%. And a presidential 08 from Pew for the GOP is Giuliani, of course, ahead of McCain, 27-26, with Rice at 20%. And then the Democrats has Clinton at 39% and Obama at 23% and Edwards at 10%. I still think that Vilsack's going to get in there because, like I said, all the former recent presidents have all been governors except for Herbert Walker Bush. You know, maybe he should have been a governor. Things have been better off. But so we'll see. And Romney aggressively courting Bush's Pioneer and Ranger fundraisers in a move that would seem to further indicate he's preparing a run for president. Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney has been aggressively courting top fundraisers from President Bush's Pioneers and Rangers. So those are the ones that raise at least $100,000 each, I believe. So he's going to be running. And actually, McCain's going after him, too. If he were to run, Romney would join former mayor, New York City mayor, of course, Rudy 9/11 Giuliani, and Senator John McCain, Congressman Duncan Hunter, and former Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson, and the expanding GOP fold. Thompson doesn't stand a chance. And also on Monday, where's this been? Still in the shadows, DP World. Remember them with that port steel fiasco? In February, the Bush administration approved the sale of a UK-based firm, which operates at least 20 U.S. port facilities, to a UAE firm, DP World. The proposal generated a firestorm of protests, resulting in a decision to find a domestic buyer for U.S. operations. 9 months later, and the U.S. facilities remain under control of DP World, despite a March announcement that they would be sold. So what happened to that? You know, all that was a smokescreen. Oh, yeah, they still own those ports. They're not going to get rid of them. You know, that's a bunch of BS. So trying to shore up the support for the administration during that. And then this one is The Empire Strikes Back. This is from Monday.
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
Yeah, the whole hullabaloo blew up over those the port deal, and they are sitting on them still, and they haven't sold them yet. So Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez contended the other day that some critics of the Bush administration's warrantless surveillance program were defining freedom in a way that poses a grave threat to U.S. security. Gonzalez was the second administration official in 2 days to attack a federal judge's ruling last August that the program was unconstitutional. Vice President Dick Shooter Cheney on Friday called the ruling an indefensible act of judicial overreaching. That's like, what they call them trying to get the Congress and Bush and then trying to get the courts to interfere with these Terry Schiavo mess. You know what I mean? There they are. They're urging judicial overreaching in that, but except it's something they want. Oh, no. You got the FISA court. That's set up for a reason. You have to get a court order. I say, if we start giving away our liberties and our laws and our freedoms, it doesn't make us any better than these terrorists we're supposed to be pursuing, you know? Gonzalez told about 400 cadets from the Air Force Academy's political science and law classes that some see the program as on the verge of stifling freedom rather than protecting the country. He said this view is very short-sighted, and its definition of freedom, one utterly divorced from civic responsibility, is superficial and itself a grave threat to the liberty and security of the American people. He's in our hack, an administration hack. No, it doesn't follow the rule of law. Just goes, whichever the wind's blowing. I mean, he's a terrible, terrible guy.
And,
yeah. And we see here. This is from Saturday from CNN. John Edwards says Kerry's decision will not affect his. Oh, Kerry is done. Kerry is finished. If he knows what he's better knows better, he'll not run for president in 08. He's finished. Acknowledging he is strongly considering a second run for the White House. Former Democratic vice presidential nominee John Edwards said Thursday his decision to run again will not be influenced by his 2004 running mate John Kerry or Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton.
You are one pathetic loser.
No one else's decision will influence him, Edwards said on the Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer. What will influence me, is making sure my family is okay. And secondly, what I believe in my best judgment is what is best for the country. So I don't know. He might be a pretty good presidential candidate. He's been courting all the doing all the One America committee and all that. So we'll see what happens. But it's a little early yet. So I think now we'll take our commercial break and pay some bills, as I say. And we'll be right back with Sean from the PoliticalCritic.com.
Now, a stupid thing to do in a boat. Hog calling. Now, another stupid thing to do in a boat. Drinking. In the past 5 years, 35 Minnesotans died in alcohol-related boating accidents, and not all were in the captain's seat. Intoxicated passengers are just as likely to fall overboard and drown. Don't do anything stupid this summer. A message from the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources.
Hello, shoppers. I'm Kim Cattrall with a fashionable way to be philanthropic. The 34th annual Posh Sale, the hottest sale in town. Posh benefits Lighthouse International, which helps people of all ages overcome the challenges of vision loss. Here's two ways you can help. By shopping May 10th through the 14th to get the best deals in town. By donating your new or gently used designer goods now. Find out more at lighthouse.org. I'll see you there.
We are back on Subject to Discussion, and thank you everybody for rejoining us for the Politics Hour. And now we're joined by Sean of PoliticalCritic.com. Sean, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir.
Hi, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Welcome. And now give everybody an idea, is your first time on, a little idea about yourself and your blog and everything else.
Sure. I'm 33 years old, single, live out in New England, bounced around a few times. Florida, Pennsylvania, now live in Rhode Island, battleground state, or at least it was a week ago.
Maybe not anymore, right?
Not anymore, no. It's pretty blue here now.
Yeah, well, Lincoln Chafee was your senator, right?
Yeah, Chafee, you know, he's really well-liked over here.
Yeah.
It was just that there's 4-1 Democrats at least registered in the state, so all Sheldon Whitehouse really had to do was tell everyone he was a Democrat and not to vote for the Republican this time around.
Huh.
That was basically how the ads were going here. It wasn't really negative. White House was just sort of pointing out that Chafee's going to vote for Republican leadership in the Senate, and he targeted at least enough people to win the forum.
Huh. Not too bad. Well, I mean, because it's a small state, and Chafee had been there for a while, so he had some clout in the Senate, didn't he?
Yeah, he's been there for 7 years, and his dad held the same seat for 23 years before that. So the name is very powerful in the state, and, you know, people like him, and just not this time around. I mean, Bush has a 23% approval rating in the state. So,
well, That did him in.
An uphill battle.
Yeah, that's why I said that. You know, I mean, a lot of people are giving credit to the Dean's 50-state plan and all that. I'm like, you know what? Iraq, it was the tidal wave. I'm sure the Dean's thing was some help to Democrats, especially out here in the West, to pick up some seats. I think majority of it was Iraq. People are just everybody's just fed up with Iraq, and it swept everybody out.
Right, and as James Carville would say, even Howard, he says Howard Dean screwed up, but anyone would have won in the current climate, or any Democrat would have won. So
yeah, how long have you been blogging?
Been blogging since June of 2004, and this site since about August of 2004.
It's a very nice site. I got the nice picture. Was it Lincoln? The Jefferson Memorial, right?
Jefferson Memorial,
yes. Yeah, and then. I like some of the, your blog is easy to go up and down. It's not everything's not thrown around like some of these blogs are. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it took a while to get to that point, especially since I don't really have the technology background, and I don't run it off of Blogspot or any of those blogger domains. I'm just trying to run it off of a normal site. So
very good.
The technology side took a little bit, or some of the stuff that. A little more difficult than others, but
yeah. And on your blog, which is different than everybody else, on one side you got liberal T-shirts, and on the right you have the conservative. Which nobody else has really done that,
Well, I try to stay moderate to some extent. I mean, I'm more, I guess, anti-establishment in a sense, as the site implies, critical of pretty much everyone in government. And the Republicans have been in government for the last 6 years, basically in control of everything. So that's pretty much where my commentary or animosity has been directed up until a week ago or so.
Yeah.
But I, in general, if you had to label me, I'd probably say moderate, but depending on who reads it, my conservative friends think I'm a liberal nutjob, so.
Yeah, well, in your blog now, you talk about the leading Democrat once the draft, it's Charlie Rangel. He advocated...
Charlie Rangel, yeah.
Yeah, that was, how's that, getting reaction off your blog? I mean, that was, he's trying to make a point there. Was trying to institute the draft. If these politicians want to go to war with Iran or send more troops to Iraq, he thinks they should open up so everybody's kids has an opportunity to be drafted to go.
Well, I appreciate the point he was trying to make, but it's really plausible.
No.
But when Vietnam was going on, that wasn't an all volunteer army; that was a draft, and the rich kids didn't go then either, so and I imagine the Congress's kids didn't go. So it seems that the point he's trying to make, where the military is disproportionately either minorities or lower income families, I suppose that's a debatable point, because there are studies that say that that's not true. But I would tend to agree with him that it is. But it is an all volunteer army. It's not like a college admissions or some other venue where people are being eliminated for one reason or another. It's anyone can join. So.
Yeah. Well, and it makes it, the military more, I don't know if you use the word pure or not, but I mean, the people in there are the ones that want to be in the military, not the ones that are forced to go in,
Right. And the military doesn't want the people that are forced in to be there. It would screw them up a little bit, so.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I just appreciate the point he was trying to make. I just don't think you can get it where Congress's kids will go in, in any large numbers.
No,
you have James Webb, senator-elect out of Virginia. His son is in Iraq, but that's more the exception than the rule, I think.
Yeah, and then also you have talked about the infighting among the Democrats. That was expected. Like I said, what's the old phrase? I don't belong to any organized political party. I'm a Democrat. Yeah, it seems like they know nothing but infighting amongst themselves. Yeah.
Well, it's such a different demographic within the party. Republicans are very good at getting in line with each other, and maybe that was Tom DeLay in the last few years that despite all the wrong things he was doing, he got most of his people to stand in line, and instead of the circular firing squad that the Democrats are employing right now, he actually got most of his people to vote the right way, or at least vote the way he wanted them to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of that had to do with Murtha and Steny Hoyer trying to be the majority leader of the Congress, and of course, Pelosi backed Murtha, and then all of a sudden, this, you know, the video from the app scam thing turned up with Murtha in it, and you know, it got a little dirty there for a while.
Yes, the video from the app scam scandal, that's pretty interesting, because he says he doesn't want to take the bribe, but he also says we'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
So, you know, you want to take him for his word that he said, you know, he was just trying to help his constituency in Pennsylvania, and he wasn't going to take a bribe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they never charged him with anything, and these were FBI agents looking to charge somebody with something. So
yeah, it was just interesting.
That was a long time ago. So
yeah, 26 years ago, they said. But they said every time Murtha's up for re-election, this video, you know, miraculously shows up again. You know,
of course.
And then you go on at what else talking about though about Carville wanting Dean to be fired as chairman. A lot of people are saying that Carville's doing the bidding of the Clintons, that the Clintons don't want Dean in there when Hillary gets ready to run, because, you know, I've said it before on this program that Dean's got this foot-in-the-mouth disease. Every once in a while, he sticks it in there, and then, you know, it takes a couple weeks to clean it up, you know?
Yes. Well, yeah. I mean, you like people like Howard Dean because he doesn't really talk out of talking points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's sort of why I like Murtha, too. He can actually just sit down if he's on Hardball or whatever other TV program and just talk.
True.
Whereas most politicians will just read a script, essentially.
Yeah.
When you get with Howard Dean and Murtha and, you know, a couple other people, there's people or guys that will just talk and like a real person.
Yeah.
And of course, with Dean, he puts, like you said, he puts his foot in his mouth a little too often.
Well, I mean, he's pretty good. I mean, and some people are even suggesting that, Hillary, you know, if she runs and gets a nomination, she picks him as her VP running mate because they'll quell the more liberal side of the party. Like, oh, I really can't see her picking him, you know?
Hillary and Howard?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would really, the far left would love that, but I think that would run away from the center, which is where Hillary's trying to run to at the moment. I don't think anyone really believes it, but she's trying to get as close to the center as possible because that's what she thinks will win.
Yeah, well, she's probably right. I mean, because they've proven with, Kerry. Well, Kerry came, you know, really, really close, but, I mean, he was, you know, to the left. And then Gore couldn't make up his mind where he was from one debate to the next, you know. So I don't know. But, I mean, I said before, now there are the rumors floating around that maybe the Clintons are going to push Ford, what's his name? He just lost Howard Ford, no, Henry Ford Jr. They're gonna. Oh, now Henry. What's his name?
Harold
Ford. Yeah, Harold Ford Jr. They're gonna push him to take over the DNC. Somebody they can control. You know, who's, you know, an African American. They can play to that. You know, and all that. You know, well, maybe. I mean, he. They say he ran. You know, even Republicans said that. You know, Ford ran a pretty good campaign for Senate. He just came up short.
Right. He ran a flawless, pretty much, campaign down in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, with the blonde ad there, I think I heard you mention last week. I think, he was doomed after that ad, but he still pulled it pretty close. He got to within 3%, which was one of the only senatorial elections where the polls were a little bit off.
Yeah, well, I mean, you heard his concession speech, but I still have that on tape at home. Yeah, it's one of the more uplifting, positive concession speeches I've heard in quite a while. I mean, it's really a great speech. I mean, he's conceded, but he conceded that he's going to be around. He's he's not going away. Like somebody, he's not going to grow a beard and teach up in where Gore disappeared.
He's good. I mean, yeah. He's very smooth, especially on the campaign trail. So they definitely want him around.
Yeah, and then go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Somebody wants him to be chairman of the DNC, and it might be, like you say, to control him, because Howard Dean is not the type of guy that's going to get controlled by too many people inside the party. He's already fighting with Rahm Emanuel and Carville and I'm sure a number of others.
Yeah, and Rahm Emanuel, of course, was in the Clinton administration, so it makes sense that the Clintons would want to get rid of Dean, have somebody in there they can kind of, control,
Right, and a 50-state strategy sounds good, but when you have a limited supply of money, you really can't be spending it in a strong red district in the South when you've got all these other states that are neck and neck within the margin of error on a poll. And I believe Carville's point was there were 14 states where the Democrats lost a congressional seat by 1%. And he tries to attribute it to Dean, and Dean had, I think, $6 million in funds that he didn't even spend. plus the money that he was spending in districts that they couldn't win. So his point is that they would win, have won a number of seats in addition to the 30 that they picked up. And I kind of agree with that.
I mean, you really don't know. I can see both sides of it. You know, I can see Dean, you know, he's sick of the Democrats conceding, you know, whole sections of the country. You know, I mean, you know, if they're ever going to win some of these states, they have to start somewhere. And he thought, we'll start now, you know. And I don't think he thought they're going to do that well this time around. I think they're building towards 08. I think all this kind of, you know, flashed up on them, you know, unexpectedly, especially the Senate. The House, they kind of, I think they probably figured, oh, we'll probably get some control over it. But I don't think they really thought the Senate was going to go either, you know.
Well, in the last couple of days, I thought the Senate would go, just from the way the polls were, but it was going to be really close.
Yeah.
The House had pretty much been decided, at least through pundits anyway, a few weeks before that. But yeah, the Senate, most people were picking four or five seats. A couple were picking six, but it was going to be pretty tight all the way through.
Yeah.
I was just glad to see George Allen move.
Oh, yeah, that was, you know, he deserved that. After that, my whole Macaca mess, and, you know, I like it because, you know what, he was on such a high horse, you know, and then you see him riding a horse down Main Street there in Virginia, and then, you know, they were grooming him to be president. You know, he had that whole Reagan kind of head shake thing going on for a while. He had to, he looked at his hair. He started doing his hair like Reagan, too. Did you see that?
Yeah, they definitely were
grooming him,
equating him with the Reagan,
like
a conservative that's very polished and very, you know, populist candidate type of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, he must have been hanging out with Michael Richards too much
lately. Now, yeah, how about that? I mean, I don't need to go off into this, but, I mean, that's a big thing. They're all talking about that. I mean, this Michael Richards, you know, racial diatribe, it was amazing, huh?
Yeah, it's strange. I read the article before I saw the video, and I said, oh, you know, normal reaction, this is horrible, what he said. But it didn't sound as bad as when you actually watch the video, and you're just horrified.
Yeah, especially hearing the comments from the crowd. The crowd's like, aghest, you know, like, everybody's gasping, like, oh, I can't believe he's doing this, you know?
Yeah, I mean, at first they have, like, these, like, hesitant giggles, like, what is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're just, you know, he gets so hostile, and people, I guess a number of people left, so
yeah.
You can hear people in the crowd going, oh, my God, and things like that.
One thing, I know one person in the world's glad is Mel Gibson. This gets him off the hook, huh? Yeah, it's kinda...
I've already heard him being brought up on other blogs that's associated with,
off the hook,
with Michael Richards.
It took Michael Richards
and Mel Gibson. They're hanging out together.
And also on your blog, you have we should give – oh, absolutely. I'll pitch in for this, giving Rumsfeld a one-way plane ticket to Germany so he could face war crimes charges. Absolutely, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, I figure the CIA can render him or whatever that their initialization program was. They can just send him over to Germany and have him face the charges.
Yes.
I mean, it'll never happen, but it was – for the blog, it was fun to talk about.
Yes, I don't see why not. You know, he believes in waterboarding. By God, we'll give you some waterboarding over in Germany. You know.
Well, it's odd that, you know, he's explicitly approved of waterboarding,
mm-hmm.
and the United States has prosecuted people in the past for waterboarding against American military personnel.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I read that story during the Asian war, part of World War II.
Right.
Exactly. Now all of a sudden, it's okay if we're doing it, but somebody's doing, you know, if it's illegal, it's a war crime. If somebody's doing it to our troops, but if it's us doing it, it's okay. You know. Yeah.
Well, that's part of why I was pushing so hard to get the Democrats in control of the House and the Senate, because you just need to keep the executive branch in line.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, it happens to be Republican and George Bush. But if you give too much power, if you give the entire power to one side of the party, or one party, then they're just going to do things like this.
That's nice.
There's no rules.
Mm-hmm.
Tyranny of the majority, I believe, is the old phrase where you just need to win by one vote and then you have control of everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I really wasn't for the Senate going. I was more for the House. I was hoping the House, because the House holds all the purse strings, you know, and I was hoping they would be Democrat and be able to, you know, check Bush and check the GOP, you know, send subpoenas up. I mean, yeah, we have to have some kind of investigation into this war. You know, where is this money going? Now they're going to come up with, what, $160 billion more we're going to be sending over there. Where's this money going? I mean, it's a bottomless pit. We're right back where we started. You need that. You know, all these no-bid contracts and these political flunkies over there being in charge of reconstruction, and they're building these buildings with, you know, raw sewage dripping out of the pipes and everything. It's like a disaster over there.
Oh, I agree 100%.
Yeah.
I think they've actually stopped the reconstruction, and they can't provide safety, or they're just, I'm not sure exactly, but I think they've stopped.
Maybe because they're inept, I can't wait to get some of these, they say the last 2 years will be nothing but scandals with Bush, open up this can of worms, there's going to be all kinds of stuff. I can see it coming out, Halliburton, all this no bid stuff, because this money, where is this $500 billion we sent to Iraq? Where is the money,
Well, that wars are profitable. That's why we keep fighting them.
Mm-hmm.
So you go over there and the people who, make the bullets, make the guns, and make the armament, the planes, and then the reconstruction. So there's just an enormous amount of money that goes into it, and there's always someone on the other side that's going to be making a profit on it. And sometimes it's a public company like Halliburton, where the stock price, I think, the last time I checked, it doubled since the lead up to the war. But there's other companies involved, too, and there's all sorts of money distributing around.
Oh, yeah. And Pelosi, we saw her today. She was starting to stand her ground. And she said she was elected to stop this war in Iraq, and that's what she's going to do. She's going to stop this war. So, I mean, you see the battle lines are already being drawn. I mean, especially this thing with the warrantless wireless wiretapping. Gonzalez was saying that, they're going to go ahead with this. I don't know what kind of showdown it's going to be. If Bush can write an executive order and mandate this goes through, and if the Democrats can come around and challenge it, I mean, there's going to be some, intense battles coming, huh?
Yeah, especially with those categories. And I think with Democrats and they'll be able to at least stop Bush from doing it if they have enough stones that they want to. Sometimes they don't seem to want to take a fight in certain categories, especially terrorism, like warrantless wiretapping. The Republicans seem to play the chess game a little better in the public to make them sound a little bit worse. But now that the Democrats actually have control, hopefully they can get rid of this warrantless wiretapping and the habeas corpus back, which would be nice, since I don't really want to be arrested for doing nothing.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if you saw Newsweek. Michael Hirsch had a story. It was all the king's horses. He said it's too late for Jim Baker, Pelosi, or anyone else to put this Humpty Dumpty back together again. But if Iraq is hopeless, there's still time for Afghanistan, because even that's unraveling as well. And the administration seems to have spun it off onto NATO. Oh, that's NATO's problem. Well, we're the ones that started this mess, and we pawned it off onto NATO. Now, Afghanistan's unraveling with Iraq.
Right, not to the same level, but they put NATO in there so that they could push, I believe, so they could push more troops towards Iraq. They have a lot of troops, but when you have them in there in theater for, we're going up on 4 years now, between rotations and everything else, it does get stressed or strained. I still don't agree with what Rangel had to say, but there just has to be a better way to fight it. And, they still have enough room to put more troops in Iraq in the short term to try to get stability. But I believe they only have about 20,000 in Afghanistan right now.
Yeah. Now, what do you think of the thing today that came out with the Defense Department is considering, those three alternative plans for Iraq, go long, go, whatever it is, go short. Get out, or go out, or something like that. They're using all these football analogies now. What do you think of that? I mean, they say that the one that's getting the most consideration from the Defense Department administration is the go long. You send more troops in for the short run to help stabilize the country yet again, but they stay longer. But the influx of troops leaves, but the force that stays is there longer to increase the training of the Iraqi police force. know, or whatever's left of them, right?
Right. Well, I think that's probably the start of the best of those three.
Yeah.
But there's so much more to it.
Yeah.
You have to increase the size if you want to win anyway, and if you define winning as just creating a stable country or stable government, then you need enough troops in there to watch each other's back, really. I mean, they've been undermanned for 4 years, and unfortunately now we're at the point where we don't have double the amount of troops to send in, whereas we could have done that 6 months into the conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're at a point where if you want to increase the troop size, you can only do it by, you know, depending on who you listen to, 30,000, 40,000 troops. But I think that's probably the better strategy, at least in the short term, maybe 6 to 9 months. You put as many troops as you can in there and then try to train the Iraqi military and the Iraqi police.
Mm-hmm.
I've advocated on the blog to train the Iraqi police and military outside the country because it seems that they just can't provide any security for the trainees as they're coming along. There was an incident last week where a suicide bomber killed 35 police trainees because there's insurgents infiltrating the police recruits. So it just doesn't seem to make sense to train them in Baghdad in a country where there's no stability in the first place. I think it would just be better to train them somewhere else, whether it be in the United States or in Europe. There's also the European countries that have already offered to help us train Iraqis. So I don't see why we can't do it that way.
Yeah.
That way we can monitor them, make sure there's no infiltration, and train them faster and presumably better.
Yeah.
Give them safety.
Well, that's actually a good idea. Now, a question from the chat room. What do you think about John Bolton's chance of getting renominated for the UN ambassadorship? I think I stand a better chance of getting through there than he does, huh? I don't think
actually, 1 to 9.
Bolton?
He had a really tough time getting through the first go-around, and now the Democrats seem much more empowered. So I don't think they're not going to block the appointment for the Department of Defense guy.
Mm-hmm.
His name is escaping me.
Gates? Yes.
Gates, thank you. They're not going to go against him, but I believe they'll probably go against Bolton because they almost had him the first time around. And the guy they really should get rid of him because he just is out there.
I agree the first time around. But then I always thought, well, I mean, the president should have his own team, and, you know, he's only got 2 years left. I say the Democrats got to pick and choose their fights. You know, are they going to, like I say, you'll probably let Gates go through, I guess, if they're going to choose to fight over Bolton. I don't know. And they say Bush can reappoint him like he did the last time, the recess appointment. But this time, I guess, there's some kind of law in the books that this time, if he does it, Bolton won't get paid. I guess the White House is trying to figure out, you know, some way around that. I don't know what, what the hell? Bush can't he just have a signing statement like he's had before and go around anything? You know what I mean?
He might be able to, and that's when, like, the political hardball stuff comes in, where Pelosi will probably come up to him, or Kenny Hoyer, or some of the leading Democrats, and say, okay, well, we'll give you the Department of Defense, and, you know, we're going to block you on Bolton, so you might as well go pick somebody else. Maybe they give a little in some areas or some legislation that he wants to push through, and then block him in other areas. Whereas before, when it's just Republicans, you could just push through whatever he wanted. You know, there will be some give and take, and they don't really have, it's not like they have 60 seats in the Senate. They've got 51 if you count the two independents.
No.
They don't have a huge majority.
No.
So they definitely do have to give a little bit.
Yeah. Well, how about Bush decides, okay, Bolton's finished, and to help, he could appoint George Allen, a UN ambassador, to kind of, you know, try and salvage him for the 08, huh? That'd be interesting.
I think Allen's dead for 08.
Really?
His presidential ambitions are gone.
Yeah, we think Mitt Romney's the darling now?
Well, McCain's the guy to beat,
yeah,
at least at the moment, on the Republican side, just because at least it looks like the money's behind him and the leadership, at least for right now. But Romney's right there, and I don't think Giuliani's really going to get too far.
No, no.
But those are the only three, really, on the Republican side.
Like I said, Giuliani, all he has for him is 9/11. You know, like I said at the beginning of the program, what's your education? What's your plan for education problems? 9/11. You know, I mean, that's all he'll be talking about. You know?
Right. And he had a very bad, nice way to put it, humiliated his wife when he went through that divorce. So that's not going to go over very well.
Yeah.
It might be one of those things with, you know, Bush and drugs where it's discussed 2 years before the actual election, and then by the time the election comes up, anyone outside the Beltway is not really paying attention.
Yeah.
Or because it's not being covered anymore. You'll see a lot of, you know, Hardball or CNN or whatever. They covered a story, like, say, right now, and then when it comes to the lead-in where you're 3 months out from the election, they're covering other stories and they won't go back to infidelity or drugs or whatever it is because they talked about it, and now the people are paying attention. Most of them still don't know about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But they don't. They won't talk about it anyway.
True. Well, Sean, we'll let you go. We had to end of our segment with you. We thank you very much for being on.
Well, thanks for having me.
We'll check you out at politicalcritic.com.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. We'll have you back. Thank you very much. Have a good night. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye now.
Thanks. And that was Sean from PoliticalCritic.com, and a little, you know, you get two doses of Sean's on this program tonight. A little, whatever. That was a bad joke. I was going somewhere, but never mind. Anyway, we'll take a break for the second hour. When we come back, we'll be joined by Steve of the Doctor Who DVD FAQ.com website. And then following him would be Dr. Net Ranger with our pop culture discussion. And we'll be right back. Thank you.
Against the wall. Attention. See that the humans remain entertained until the end.
And welcome back to the second hour of Subject to Discussion live on S2DRadio.com as well as on LVRocks.com. And the website for the program is S2DRadio.com. And there's a message board for the program over on MediaBoulevard.com. And thank you for everybody joining us live. And, of course, in the chat room, of course, everybody listening to the podcast, thank you very much. And it was the producer, Mr. Consoler. And the program is a part of the Progressive Podcast Network.com as well as antiradio.net.
I don't plug
those as often as I should, probably, or Media Boulevard. I should plug them more, but I don't have so much plug. I'll be doing plugging for 2 hours. But anyway, everybody in the chat room, we have Chris1019, Giorgio, Invincor, Moto Psycho and Net Ranger and myself. And Giorgio's asking if any of you guys got their PS3, PlayStation 3 yet. No, I'm afraid not. Hell, I just got a DVD player 6 months ago. So by the time I get PlayStation 3, but they'll be on PlayStation 7, I think. But now we'll be joined by Steve with our Doctor Who discussion. There he comes. TARDIS, Steve. Steve, are you there, sir?
Yeah, hello, sir.
Oh, here, you got your TARDIS.
I like that new arrangement you've got there.
Yeah, that music, we saved the other music for Koenig when he's on, you got some respect for the poor guy, right?
Oh, of course.
And, of course, we had you on a while back, and you have the Doctor Who DVDFAQ.com website, correct?
Right. Frequently Asked Questions list for the Doctor Who DVDs.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's an excellent website. And
well, thank
now
you very much.
You're welcome. And you're talking about a little bit of Torchwood on there now as well, right?
Just a bit, yeah. I mean, we're looking forward to what they're going to do with Torchwood when it's going to be released over here. The main thing we have to wait for, of course, is a broadcast deal. They'll try and sell it to a network of some sort. We don't know which one yet or if anyone picks it up, but whoever gets it, they'll have a chance to run it before a DVD release happens here.
Really?
But the interesting thing about Torchwood is that it's being shot in high definition.
Ooh.
So the thinking is it'll get both a standard definition and a high definition DVD release here.
Really?
We don't know which format yet they'll pick.
Huh. Well, I mean, there was somebody said that Doctor Who, the Eccleston season, was picked up by BBC America, right?
In fact, they just finished 7 minutes ago showing the first episode.
Really?
Yeah, I was watching their run of it. I didn't notice any cuts to it.
Wow.
There's commercials in it, yeah, but I didn't notice any material being lost.
Hmm.
So if you don't have the DVD set and you want to see more complete versions of the Eccleston episodes, the BBC America airings might be better for you.
Very good. Now
the big test will be next week's episode because End of the World's longer than Rose was.
And
that's the one that I think it lost a minute when Sci-Fi ran it.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Now. Because a lot of people say that. If Sci-Fi doesn't pick up Torchwood, maybe BBC America will pick it up. I mean, it makes a pretty.
Yeah. Yeah. It's possible. The main issue I see Sci-Fi having with Torchwood isn't so much the language and the violence and the sex, because they could always bleep the language and the violence and the sex they're fine with. It's no better or worse than what you see in something like Battlestar Galactica.
Exactly.
But the main issue I see them having is the running time. The Torchwood episodes are coming in close to 50 minutes.
Oh.
And if Sci-Fi sticks to their tried and true formula of 43 minutes of show and 17 minutes of commercials every hour, then they would have to cut about 6 or 7 minutes out of every episode.
Yeah.
As opposed to the one or two that they're doing with Doctor Who. Huh.
Don't tell Sci-Fi what to do. Yeah, they know exactly what they're doing.
You've listened all the time. We have issues with Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah.
Well, you can't tell. They're God.
Well,
tell God what to do.
Like last week, I went on their site, looked at the schedule for the repeat of Doctor Who. He goes and records it, and it's Stargate again. They don't follow.
I said 12 to 1. I changed it 12 to 1.
They keep shuffling the later repeats, and it's like they keep throwing anything in there at the 9 o'clock slot to see what 9 o'clock my time.
They're almost as bad as Fox.
Yeah.
You know, the reason that is because I was going to tape Vanished to 8. And the first thing I see, Vanished won't be seen. If you'd like to catch the rest of... No, seriously. If you'd like to catch the rest of the episode of Vanished, go to myspace.com/Fox.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know.
So I went there and I watched I watched it today. And you know what? It was another awesome episode. And you know what? I could care less what character they killed. It's still an awesome show.
Yeah. Now... I hope they'll put Torchwood on, because you know, when Conan was on, he's saying, sci-fi may not pick it up because of Captain Jack
Black.
Why don't
they do this?
Is bisexual and
screw
all
the
that.
Schedule.
No, I don't think the content isn't going to be an issue. For the fact, I would think, because it's so much edgier than Doctor Who is, mm-hmm. it's a better fit for their channel, I think. It's more of a Battlestar Galactic type show, especially this last one that was on Sunday. That
really?
Is a full-on... gory survival horror fest. It's like you're watching someone play Resident Evil 4.
Ooh.
I got it. Why does sci-fi have no schedule and just put stuff on at random? That way you'd have to watch it all the time to find out when Battlestar Galactica's next episode would air.
That might just help the ratings. When
exactly.
Well, I don't know if you heard the news on Galactica today.
Uh-oh.
That
no.
they are doing what you guys have been suggesting, and that when it comes back off the winter hiatus here in January... It's going to move to Sunday nights.
Oh, praise the Lord. They've listened to my program.
They are going to...
listen to...
It's going to come back on January 21st. They're going to... The lead-in show will be their new detective series, The Dresden Files. That'll be at 9 Eastern Pacific.
What?
And no. Battlestar will be out at 10 Eastern Pacific.
Oh, no.
Starting on Sunday nights, January 21st.
Absolutely. Thank the Lord. It's about time. Oh, Giorgio put it in there, too. Thank God. You said Sunday
what
nights...
What have you been saying for the past year?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think they saw the way the ratings went for Galactica, how they fell down to 1.5, and they haven't gotten any worse. They're holding steady there, and Doctor Who's holding steady at about a 1. That's lower than they want. They think they can do better on another.
Suffice to say, I'll probably still have to tape it.
Yeah. Now, is Who going to stay on Fridays, or is Who going to move too?
Well, they're going to have to wait because they'll run out of episodes here at the end of December. They're going to we have 4 more weeks of Who. You get the Satan Pit. In two weeks, there's no Who this week. There's no Battlestar this week. This week they're having their annual Thanksgiving marathon of movies.
Yeah.
And so next week it comes back. You'll get part 2 of The Impossible Planet, which is called The Satan Pit.
Ooh.
Week after that's Love and Monsters. Week after that's Fear Her. And then that'll be the last week of Galactica. And then December 22nd is 2 hours of Doctor Who. It's the 2-part season finale.
Hmm.
Called Army of Ghosts.
Ooh.
Now, and Doomsday.
This last episode, I like Doctor Who. I thought it was outstanding. It was a really different episode. You know, the TARDIS was mysteriously lost, right?
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, and it looked like the set they were in and this ship or whatever was looked like a the TARDIS redesigned. You know what I mean?
A little, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's got hexagons everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, and it's got that center thing. I'm like, what the hell is that? It's
partly the set of that's partly an homage to the movie The Black Hole, the Disney film where they had that circular thing in the middle, which itself looks an awful lot like the TARDIS console to me. So I think it's kind of a double reference.
Yeah, it was cool though because they open up that thing, you look out. I mean, it was like wow, you know, the effects on the show have been amazing.
Yeah, they really went to town on this one. This is the last stuff they shot for the series. These two episodes were shot last.
Huh.
And they really saved up some money. And you probably already have seen the final monster. He's been in the trailers.
Oh no.
We'll see him in the pit, and he looks pretty nasty.
Really?
He's very, very big.
Yeah, the effects have been incredible. You know, ever since it started with Eccleston and everything, just the the effects, the detail they've gone through. I keep talking with Koenig, I'm gonna be hung up on this. When they do these period pieces, they put that yellow hue in, so it looks older. Especially that one with the girl in the fireplace. That was outstanding.
That was That's my favorite episode of the entire series so far, I think.
Yeah, that was outstanding. Well, and when they did the other one with Eccleston, I can't remember.
Gone Quiet Dead?
Yeah, with the woman Dickens screaming one. And all that. That was good, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Charles Dickens.
And then, of course, the World War II stuff in Empty Child.
Yeah, with the blimps and all that.
Right.
And they brought in Jack Black. And I thought that was,
the production design, I thought it was a little bit wonky in the very first episode.
Yeah.
But then, ever since then, it's been fantastic.
Yeah.
And as you say, the effects have been tremendous, too. And that's unusual for Doctor Who. We're still getting used to this. I mean, I really like The Impossible Planet because it's very much a throwback to classic Doctor Who. It's it's very much the kind of story that was told in the early Tom Baker years in the mid-70s, but now with a budget.
Yeah.
And you're seeing, wow, this is what it could have looked like. And it's kind of a by-the-numbers story, yet at the same time you're seeing it almost like it's completely new again because you've got you have a new doctor, you have a new companion, you've got the effects and production design that to really support the show that they didn't have back then.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it's creatures. What do they call them? The
Ood.
Ood. Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost like
they're,
almost
they
like
were Russell's Russell T. Davis' reaction against the Slovene who came from the planet Rex of Caracofalpatorius. And he got so sick of these long names he was using in the first season, he decided, well, I'll just call him the Ood.
And actually,
in the early drafts, it was going to be the Slovene.
Really?
Yeah, and then they realized two things. One, they're a little too comical for a story like this.
Yeah.
And two, they're so they're too large for sequences that are going to be coming up.
Yeah.
In part two, you'll see why they wouldn't be able to fit where they're going to be going.
Huh? They Ood, kind of like the Gaul Ood from
Stargate.
O-O-D?
O-O-D.
O-O-D.
No L.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, the way they, the Ood, like a ghoul. You know,
oh,
like,
them.
Like,
Stargate,
like,
right.
Like the Gaul. Yeah. And actually, NetRanger is asking, he's from Media Boulevard, wasn't the female lead in Torchwood the older sister, mother, and the empty child, the actress?
No.
Oh.
No. I don't think
interesting.
So.
Interesting. And with the whole thing. Now, you know, we know that they're going to bring back Mickey and sci-fi. They say sci-fi.
There's a spoiler.
Yeah, the sci-fi may delete this or something because it's going to. When they did that trip to the alternate Earth, right?
Right.
That Ricky, whatever his name was.
He had Ricky on the alternate Earth.
Yeah, Ricky on the alternate Earth. And then
Mickey stayed behind to replace him.
Yeah, but apparently Ricky and that guy were having a gay affair. Is that right?
Well, that was
alluded to.
That was an idea that was dropped in the last minute. In the story, there would have been one final scene just after towards the end where he the other guy. Oh God, his name. Yeah, I'm forgetting his name now. His friend. He would have had the line that went, "Ricky was the best boyfriend I ever had." Just as they about to drive off into the sunset or into the darkness, and. They at the last minute, Julie Gardner, the co-executive producer, she looked at Russell and said, Russell, there hasn't been anything up in the episode up to this point to indicate that they were having this, that they were lovers.
Yeah.
I mean, do you really want that in there? We know you fly the flag and everything, and it, as right as well he should, but it just seemed gratuitous to put it there, so they cut that. But it is apparently in the deleted scenes that we'll be seeing in the Series 2 DVD set, which will be coming out on January 16th.
Ah, so that'll be in there, that scene?
Yes, they have included deleted scenes this time, which they didn't do on the Season 1 set.
Yeah,
Season 2 set will have them.
Yeah, I didn't get the Season 1 set because, you know what, out here in Vegas, it's like $98. I'm like, I'm not spending that kind of money on that.
Well, you could find it for, at least when it was first released, I think Amazon had it for 70-something.
Oh, yeah, but Galactica is only like $39.
Yeah, and the
like
reason
that.
For that is the BBC's unions didn't roll over for the industry the way the Writers Guild over here did. A friend of mine who's trying to break into writing in Hollywood, he was talking about how there's talk within the Writers Guild of making sure they get a piece of the action when the contract gets renegotiated soon.
Well, I guess
so DVD sets over here might also wind up increasing in price because of that.
Well, I mean, they got to make a living. I could see how, and I know they fought the webisodes and all that because they weren't getting money off of that.
Right.
Yeah, I could see, the networks are always trying to,
the
screw
webisodes for Galactica are not going to be in the DVD set of that.
Wow.
For that reason, that it wasn't negotiated. In fact, I believe it was said by Ron Moore at this writers' conference that my friend was at, that you might never see them again because there was some post-production that didn't get finished on them.
Huh.
I think like the last two, they were not the way they had intended them because the unions were kicking up a fit over the webisodes.
Yeah. Now, I know you're an expert, Dr. Who. I'll get back to that. I don't want to be, usually with Conan, we kind of wander off these subjects. But, now with Who, we got in a discussion with him, and, we all know, everybody knows Rose is leaving. They're bringing in that, what's her name? Vida.
The actress's name is Freema Agyeman.
Freema Agyeman.
Okay. And the character she'll be playing is Martha Jones.
Martha Jones. Now,
and she will appear, first of all, there's going to be another Christmas special on Christmas Day. called The Runaway Bride, but she's not in that. They have a kind of a rebound companion, they're calling her, for one show.
Oh.
And then Martha appears in the first episode of the new season, which will begin in April, probably on Easter Saturday again. That seems to be the tradition that they're building up on.
Well,
that's why I say Sci-Fi Channel's going to have to wait until the BBC's run that before they can run Doctor Who again, because you know there aren't any more episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's thinking, well, the American viewing public will accept her, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, I don't think so. You know, I mean, I'm not a racist, but I just don't see, you know, Rose is a hot blonde. You know, all the guys like her because she's good to look at.
Have you seen Prima?
No, I mean, she's
extremely hot.
She's very hot. But yeah. you know what I'm saying?
In fact,
now?
You will see her. In the season finale, she has a part as a different character.
Oh.
And when they saw her as this different character, she's kind of a minor player, but she's in the part one of the season finale. And you'll notice her when she's there. And because of her performance in that and her looks, apparently, they decided they described it as they stalked her for a while, and then had her audition with David Tennant, and the chemistry was there.
Huh.
And bang, they hired her.
Really? Now you don't see Koenig doesn't see any problem with her. You know, I said, well, here in the United States, we're not as open and accepting as the viewing public is in the UK. You know what I mean? Same thing with sexuality. Oh, you know, Jack Black. You know, they may not accept him here because he's bi.
On sexuality, I would agree. On race, I don't know.
I don't know.
I'd like, although Michael Richards maybe proved me wrong the other day.
Yeah.
But you look at the reaction against him and what happened and how universal it is and how instant it was, how the whole room cleared out after he said what he said.
I would hope we're beyond that, but...
I don't know, I think, and we're not talking, I mean, we're talking about the Sci-Fi Channel audience as well. I mean, that's bound to be, if they can accept people with pointy ears and, you know, green people and people with things that... bumps on their foreheads. I can't see them having a problem with Freeman Agumon.
Yeah. Well, let's hope so. I mean, I would hope. I'm just concerned that bringing her here and the ratings drop far enough, Sci-Fi will just knock it off the air. But then I'm sure BBC America will pick it up.
I'm not really concerned anymore about what Sci-Fi is. I mean, it's nice that we get the larger audience.
Yeah.
But what all it amounts to is basically a massive commercial for the DVD sets, which have done extremely well, actually, at that price that you're so concerned about.
Yeah.
They actually are extremely pleased with the way the Series 1 DVD set sold here.
Very good.
It sold out of everywhere they put it. I mean, flew off the shelves at Best Buy's.
Well, it's an excellent show. I mean, they've done really. I mean, the episodes, all of them, from the aliens, even the Slovene with the farting and that woman, and then and the only one I had problems with, and they brought back what was her name?
Cassandra.
That's why they showed her getting blown the smithereens or stretched and she got shredded.
Well, don't remember on Cassandra. Don't forget that her brain survived.
That's true. Yeah,
she had the brain was in the jar at the bottom of the frame. That didn't blow up, and that's what they saved. And then they went and got another piece of skin.
Yeah, they saved her back, and now you're talking out of your ass.
Right. Yeah,
and the humor has been great. You know, this season it is a little more humor than was with Eccleston, I find.
Yeah, David Tennant's a funnier doctor. Definitely, it's as though the regeneration has healed him from a lot of that baggage he's carrying around from the Time War.
Yeah.
Although it still comes up now and then, but. Yeah, that seemed to be Eccleston's, the Ninth Doctor's modus operandi was that he was, he was fighting off a lot of guilt about the Time War, his role in it, and anytime the Daleks turned up, it just brought it all back to him.
Yeah. Now, what do you think of? Was it two weeks ago? TARDIS is pretty much. I thought it was a very dramatic episode because was it the time vortex collapsed and the TARDIS was pretty much dead except for that little glowing light.
When it went to the parallel universe.
Yeah,
right.
I thought that was an incredible episode because that was like the whole set collapsed on him. You know, everything was hanging. it's like Jesus.
You're talking about Rise of Cybermen, and I myself don't really care for that story.
Oh.
Because it should have and could have been so much better than it was.
Yeah.
Because I know what some of the early drafts were about and why that had to change, and they really diluted it down.
Huh.
And it should have been better than it was.
Yeah. But I mean, I just like that they
were very well directed.
Yeah.
Graham Harper, he directed a couple stories in the original series, and he's the first director to come back for the new series. And he hasn't lost any of his old touch. I mean, he made those episodes look outstanding, And he will be. He also directs the season finale.
Wow.
So look forward to that.
Yeah, and I like it kind of, and they, you know, they found a little light. You know, that kind of reminded me of the original Superman movie, or Superman 2, when, you know, Christopher Reeve went up to the, you know, he lost his powers and went up back up to the fortress, and all he saw was that glowing green light. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, a little.
It was kind of, yeah. I like that. It was so cool. You know, it's like, oh, there's hope.
Certainly the opening credits look like Superman.
You know, it's like, oh, you know, it's, you know, I go, you know, it kind of reminded me of that. I'm like, oh, you know, there's the TARDIS is still alive slightly. Same with Superman. Oh, there's still hope because, in the movie, the crystal is still glowing, and then the TARDIS is still a little bit of life left in it. It's like, oh, there, there's hope. You know,
right.
So it's an excellent series. I mean, they've done a really good job. I mean, you know, a lot of people were worried about Tennant taking over for Eccleston, but the, you know,
that's the tradition of the show. I mean, every time a new Doctor comes along, that you get that weird mix of, oh, the old one's gone, and oh, wait, there's this new guy, and he's really exciting.
Yeah.
And that's what happens every time.
Yeah.
And that goes well with, and this is a good time to segue into this, the fact that we are just about on the 43rd anniversary of the series debut.
Congratulations.
It's Thursday, November the 23rd, 1963, was the first broadcast.
43 years.
Yep.
You know?
The day after Kennedy was shot. We can always remember that date very easily then.
Huh. Now, yeah, it's you know, I know a lot of other shows say they're the longest running, you know, Stargate says they are, but...
Yeah, that's an interesting little side fight going on there. But the Guinness Book of World Records is trying to finagle their definition of the longest running science fiction series. Consecutive now they're saying to give Stargate the nod, but also say longest running science fiction series total to give Doctor Who the nod. But yet we're going, but wait a minute, we ran 26 years the first time.
Yeah,
why does that not trump the 11 years of Stargate? And then they say, well, it's because there was a break and now it's back, so it's not a consecutive show anymore.
Oh, well, I don't know. Yeah, they lost those first 26 years, but I don't know.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
They made a mistake, and they're trying to tread the line out of it.
Yeah. Now the going into the, you know, the last half of the season, now, any idea how the third season's going to unfold?
Well, we do know it will start with an episode called Smith and Jones. Because it's Martha Jones and it's Dr. John Smith. And she's, again, she'll be another 21st century character. She'll be slightly older than Rose, and the indication I've heard is that, at least in the early going, the Doctor will still be in love with Rose while Martha's falling in love with him.
Oh. Now, a question for the chat.
And also that... The TARDIS navigation errors will be back in a big way at the start of the season, and he'll be trying to get her home, and he can't do it.
Hmm.
At least at the beginning.
Interesting. Now with Rose, is we already gave it away that, you know, she's leaving. Now is the character going to be killed off?
Oh, that's quite the spoiler.
Oh well,
really want to know?
Well, I mean, it's because
let me put it this way. You'll get a big hint about it in part two of Satan Pit as to what's coming up. The Beast will have something to say about that.
Ooh.
And I believe when the season finale begins, begins with some narration from Rose where she's telling you about her life.
Uh-oh.
And the very last sentence of that is, this is the story of how I died.
Oh, no. Rose,
that's all the further I'll go with you.
Oh, it's terrible. The cons are tearing up.
It is. A lot of people do tear up at when they...
I don't know. I missed it.
You'll got to watch
the
it
first
next
episode.
2 weeks. In 2 weeks. Right? They won't be on this Friday. In two weeks.
Is there any chance?
Nothing, neither Doctor Who nor Battlestar are on this Friday. Yeah.
Is there a chance between now and next week they re-air this episode?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it on the schedule, no. I wish they were still doing the Sunday night reruns that they were doing before, but no, I guess that they're not.
No, I guess they're, you know.
Now, they are going to, I know somewhere around Christmas, they're going to, they have a day, during the Christmas holidays, they have day-long marathons of just about everything they've got.
Yeah.
And they're going to show most of the Tennant season again one of those days. If you check on their schedule, Bob, it tells you which day.
Oh, yeah. I'm keen on their schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I also know they're going to rerun Christmas Invasion on Christmas Day.
Oh.
Sometime in the afternoon.
Oh. Well, that should
be... It will come around again, but not... I can't tell you right now. Yeah, off the top of my head when that is.
This Friday they're airing nothing but movies.
You don't happen to be in the Chicago area this weekend.
No.
Because there's a Doctor Who convention there that I'm attending. It might get shown there too.
Ah, yeah.
Called Chicago TARDIS.
Oh, really?
No. Can I plug it?
Go ahead. I'm from Chicago. Where's it being held at?
It's at the Wyndham O'Hare.
Oh, very nice.
It's right next to the airport.
Yes.
The main guests are the Seventh Doctor, Sylvester McCoy.
Oh.
Sophie Aldred, who played his companion Ace. Maureen O'Brien, who played Vicky, a companion back in 1965 in her first American convention appearance.
Wow.
And the my personal... I've seen McCoy and Aldred before, I'm looking forward to seeing O'Brien, but the person I'm really looking forward to seeing is Gabriel Wolf, who is the voice of the Beast from
Impossible
Planet.
Oh.
And he was also the voice of the very first villain I ever saw in the first show I ever saw. It was called Pyramids of Mars, a 1975 episode, and he was the voice of Sutekh the Destroyer.
Really?
In that. And Sutekh was similarly a godlike being that founded Egyptian mythology.
Wow.
Because he was so bad.
Interesting. Chambers asked me. I'm on the sci-fi.com website. Yeah, they have an official thing about Galactica moving to Sundays.
Yeah, that's where I got the info from.
Yeah, Galactica will be on Sundays at 10, following the premiere of the new Dresden Files. So
that's right.
That's going to be on there. So we're, you know, they're
that's
really
when it comes back from their little Christmas / winter break here.
Correct. So that'd be interesting. Now, yeah, another thing I mentioned before we let you go. During Eccleston's, that last episode with Eccleston, they talked about the destruction of the Earth and all that, or humans, and they said, no, there's colonies of humans. I thought that was kind of a nod towards Galactica. What do you think? Am I reading too much?
It's not a nod towards Galactica because it's been established in the original series that humans went out and colonized the universe.
Ah.
That goes way back to season one of the original series. The story called The Sensorites, where you meet some humans that are trying to colonize a planet, and the people on the planet don't like that idea. And in fact, the Ood are slightly based on the aliens in that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh, interesting.
So, yeah, colonies in space are nothing new to Doctor Who.
Oh, okay. I thought it was kind of a nod towards Galactica, but I was wrong. I don't know. We'll see. Well, Steve, we'll let you go. The TARDIS is coming for you.
And
we'll have you on again down the road. Maybe we'll rotate you around with Koenig a little bit.
Okay.
All right. Have a good luck at the convention in Chicago.
Thank you very much.
And we'll check you out at Doctor Who DVDFAQ.com, correct?
Right.
All right. You have a good night now. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank
Goodbye.
You. Bye. And here he goes, Steve, from the Doctor Who FAQ, DVDFAQ.com website. We thank him very much for being on. And in a moment, we're joined by Dr. Net Ranger of MediaBoulevard.com with a pop culture discussion. Very interesting night. Some news. Galactica getting moved. Update on Doctor Who, the 43rd anniversary. Pretty newsworthy program this week. And, of course, we talked about the politics, what's going on, the current events, so very good. But it's good they're moving. It shows that you listen to this program. This is a program of record for Galactica. At least they finally, it took them 2 years.
Secretly, they listened to the show, and they finally took our, well.
It took them 2 years to move
partially
it.
Partially took our advice.
Yeah.
They need to move Doctor Who to Sunday. Yeah,
absolutely.
Because why don't you want to maximize your viewership?
Who knows? Dresden. Maybe Dresden Files is good. I don't even know. What is the show about? Let me click on it.
Well, they got that new show. Have you seen the commercials for that new show they got?
Eureka?
No. Oh. It has debuted at The Lost Room or something?
Oh, that's just a limited run show. That's only like for, oh, here we go. The Dresden Files coming in January of 2007. What is this about here? Let me see. Henry Dresden lives in the same workaday world you live in. The difference is that Dresden is a wizard, a world-weary and sardonic wizard. This gives him a unique perspective on weird events that happen all around him, including crimes. Dresden taps that insight to unravel otherworldly schemes and crimes, much to the annoyance of skeptical police detectives. Think you understand how the world of the world works? Get schooled with the Dresden Files. Oh, it sounds kind of interesting.
It's kind of like X-Files, I think.
Yeah, I would have mentioned they would have put Torchwood on before Galactica because it's more of an adult show. So, but anyway, I think now we're joined by Dr. Net Ranger with our pop culture discussion. And Dr. Net Ranger, are you there, sir?
Yes, Sean, how's it going?
Ah, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Oh, same to you.
Ah, thank you. You got your mother-in-law's, right?
Yeah, it's sitting in the laundry room.
Laundry room.
Don't know if I have an echo or not. But.
I thought he was calling from the TARDIS.
You're calling from the laundry room. Did he get beamed down to the wrong spot or what? The TARDIS dropped you off in the laundry room?
Yeah, I'm not sure why the computer's here, but that's
all right. Yeah, put some starch in those collars, please. ancient Chinese secret, right?
Well, at least they got to turn the dryer off.
Yeah, well, at least. I saw something about who returns on December 1st, it says here. Oh, that's sci-fi. How about that breaking news? Sci-fi listened to my program and moved Galactica to Sunday nights. How about that?
Yeah, that's pretty good. It's a good deal. So yeah. I think you've been kind of advocating that for, what, three or four years.
No? Were you listening just a while ago?
We were listening to the
show a while ago?
With
I heard most of it.
Okay.
So you heard my tirade about they just totally decided not to air Vanished?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I heard that last week as well, and I thought that the person that told me that, I thought they were confusing it with Kidnapped, because that's what they did for that show, too.
Huh. No, I recorded the show, and I'm watching, you know, right before it comes on, and this guy comes on, you know, the Fox voiceover.
Right.
For you Vanished fans, tune in. If you would like to see the rest of the episodes of Vanished, tune in to myspace.com/Fox.
That's terrible.
You know, I wonder why they're doing it on MySpace. Fox has a pretty proactive website. I mean, they were releasing episodes, like full-length episodes on their website earlier.
That's horrible.
If you go to myspace.com/Fox, they got all, it's pretty elaborate MySpace, I guess you can say. You don't even, I mean, I don't know why they're promoting MySpace. And you can pretty much watch all the previous episodes of all their shows this past week.
On MySpace. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Well, I mean, because they're using their website for all the space for the OJ thing, and then that's gone. But there we go. Yeah.
Oh, whoa. By the way, it doesn't work in Firefox. It doesn't. I downloaded the damn little media.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I forgot what the program was, but you had to download something.
Oh, you know what? MySpace, Fox owns MySpace. That's why.
Oh, they do.
That's right. News Corp owns MySpace.
Well,
yeah.
Anyways, they need to get work on their webmaster guy, because it doesn't work in Firefox.
Yeah, I've never seen a MySpace look like this before.
Yeah, I had to open up. I had to open up IE for me. So I watched Vanish today on the internet.
Wow, and what else? That's good. Galactica's moving, right?
Right.
And what about this thing with Kramer blowing his stack at the comedy festival?
Yeah, I guess he must be a Mel Gibson fan. It kind of
gets him off.
A ring of that. Kramer, Michael Richards, the guy that played Kramer in Seinfeld, last Friday night. This was at the Laugh Factory in West Hollywood. Was doing a show, and I guess he got heckled by a couple of black guys out in the audience. Just all of a sudden got really mad and started talking about lynching him and using the N-word.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear it?
No, thank you. Well, you got it?
I got it.
Why not? What the hell? It's a Thanksgiving gift to all my listeners.
2 years ago, you had your own tied down with a fucking pork up your ass.
Whoa.
You can talk your brain now, motherfucker. Roll his ass out. He's a nigger.
Ooh.
He's a nigger.
Wow.
He's a nigger.
Oh my God.
A nigger, look, there's a nigger!
Horrible.
Ooh. Ooh.
All right, you see? It shocks you. It shocks you to see what's buried beneath your stupid motherfucker.
Wow.
What was it called?
Oh, well, that's enough of them.
Yeah, I guess people were waiting for a punchline, and there kind of wasn't one.
If you listen the first time... Before he starts dropping the N-bombs, he says a little joke there, and they all start laughing because...
They didn't know what to do.
They thought he was just heckling back at the guys that were...
Like,
so
like
that's why
skit.
They were laughing.
It was like a setup or something like that. Yeah.
Well, I'm still skeptical. I think it might be still a whole setup.
Yeah, because then he went, Seinfeld went on Letterman's program, and then the audience in Letterman didn't know what was going on. They thought it was a skit because the audience started cracking up. And then Seinfeld had to tell him, no, this is no joke. This isn't funny. You know, so, who knows? Who knows?
They actually brought Richards on from, I think it was a satellite feed or something.
Yeah.
Letterman, so. But, he's kind of a, another Mel Gibson. I'm not a racist. I just was having a bad night type thing. So.
Oh, well.
But Sinbad was in the audience, the actor, singer, whatever. So he's making
singer. I know he's a singer. Is he a singer? He's an actor.
Singer.
He is?
I don't know. I know he's an actor. I thought, you know, all the rap guys kind of cross over, so I think
oh,
it's one of those.
Oh, my God.
Hey, yeah, I just read, what's his face? The lead singer of Black Crowes is divorcing Kate Hudson.
Oh, it's, oh,
oh really?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. What a fool he is. Letting that one go, huh? Jeez.
She's like prime real estate.
Yeah. I don't know. Now, what about any director Robert Altman passed away, director of MASH.
Right, right.
The movie MASH, not the series.
Yeah. Yeah. He's kind of an outsider in Hollywood. He did a few good films and passed away. He was 81 years old, so.
Yeah, he was a legend. I mean, yeah. The last movie I saw was he did a movie out of that Prairie Home Companion. It was actually pretty good. I was surprised. I liked it, but you know, it's a shame. He really didn't get much echo. Well, I imagine now, you know, of course, when you're dead, then you get the accolades from Hollywood. You know, I remember he was nominated for how many Oscars for directing? He didn't get any. It's like five. And he lost all five or something like that.
Right.
So. But, well, I mean, 81, you know, it's, you know, he is a legend, though, so it's sad to see him go.
Life, so.
Yeah. And then he also has a story about Nancy Grace and CNN's being sued. Oh, that's a surprise, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, these talk shows where they exploit people, that's kind of a really sad case. It was a child that disappeared in August, and they had the mother of the child on there, and apparently Nancy Grace talked the woman into coming on, saying, you know, if you come on and show the picture, they might find the kid, and all this kind of stuff, and, when the woman got on there, she basically, I guess, berated her and accused her of, you know, killing her child and hiding the body, essentially, on the air.
Yeah,
the next day, this woman committed suicide.
I saw that. Yeah, Grace was a little heavy-handed with the poor woman. You know?
Yeah, you know, it's these talk show hosts. So, I mean, when they lie to guests and get them on under false pretenses, I mean, you know, that's happened before. Who was that daytime talk show?
Jenny Jones.
Yeah, Jenny Jones a few years ago. I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, kind of a bad scene there, so.
I got to come up with one of those. It's how you get famous these days. You got to bring somebody out and they kill somebody or kill themselves after they get done. I got to see who I can bring in. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe you could kill
Conan. No, nobody else would produce the damn show. I'll be on hiatus then. Maybe Rolando Cruz. There you go. But anyway, it's Nancy Grace. I don't like her, you know, and the other one is they got on after her, Glenn Beck. He's another one that's like Limbaugh, you know, And then, of course, you got the big news about OJ's book and Fox special getting yanked.
Yeah, no, I was going to talk about that last week when it was still going to happen, but we kind of ran out of time. But
yeah.
What the heck? You know, OJ's got a book. What is it? If I did it, this is how it happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's going to do a special on Fox, and they finally decided it was just a little bit too disgusting and pulled it.
Well, not only that, but you know, Rupert Murdoch actually—they sent a press release saying that he was, you know, the outrage from the public and all that kind of led them to do that. You know, it's ridiculous. You know, Fox is always doing that. You know, appealing to the lowest common denominator.
Right.
Either it's they appeal to the lowest common denominator with the neocons or these, you know, O.J. Simpson. You know, like they're like, you know, people go for that like the crack fiends. You know, they got us feed on that damn O.J. business. You know.
Right.
You know, and then like O'Reilly, he was on saying, "Oh, Fox News has got nothing to do with the Fox broadcasting." I mean, I was like, "Hello." I mean, it's owned by News Corp, you know, and you are promoting this special on Fox News Channel, and then Geraldo had a special on Sunday about the OJ thing with Furman. I don't know what O'Reilly was trying to do. Parsing. You know, it's a separate division. Well, it's all owned by the same man, so it's all together. You know.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of ABC Family and the Pat Robertson show. They kind of do that same thing every day.
Mm. Yeah.
They kind of disclaim it before they show it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Pat Robertson. Don't start me on him. He's another one. You know, I forgot. He stuck his foot in his mouth a few times, too, over, was he about Iraq and all that business?
Oh, yeah.
He's, you know, an air hack. And then Cruz and Holmes were married on Saturday. Oh, my invitation was lost in the mail, I think, huh?
Yeah, along with Oprah.
And Oprah, Oprah wasn't invited. What's going on there? First he jumps all over her couch, and then he doesn't invite her to the wedding?
Right, but he did invite Brooke Shields, and she apparently went. So.
Why didn't he invite Oprah?
I don't know. I don't think there's any hard feelings.
No.
I thought it was awkward, but, you know, I would never think Brooke Shields, because she's kind of like a...
Yeah, more wholesome.
Wholesome person, and I saw her on... Dip Tuck.
Yeah.
On a very risque role. And I was like, wow.
She was
that's
getting it from what's his name up the ass.
I was just surprised she would take a role like that. That's.
Paycheck, you know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, she's got a small part in that show. It's just kind of a reoccurring role. So I don't know if she saw. Maybe she figured, well, let me do something different with my career. I don't know. Did you see it?
Yeah.
When he was on the Scientology tour, though, he really jumped into Brooke Shields and attacked her.
Yeah, they got into that whole thing on the Today Show with the she was suffering from postpartum depression and all that stuff. Yeah, so they kissed and made up, I guess. And then they got married. And then, you know what? It turns out that when they were married, the wedding fiasco, paparazzi bumped into Allison Stewart and her honeymoon from MSNBC from The Most. She was there as well. There was a big to-do over that.
Which is weird because a big portion of this season's Nip Talk has to do with Scientology.
Oh.
Remember that point? What's her name? I can't remember her name, but one of the characters was dating the porn star.
I don't know.
What's his name?
The son? The kid?
Well, this kid is now, but the one of the fathers.
Oh, my God. I don't know.
The playboy?
A Christian?
Yeah, he was going to marry her, and she, like, left him, and now she's...
With the son?
With the son. Oh, well, she's, like, all into the Scientology, so...
So, I mean, that's good they're married. And then you also have, Peter Jackson's been dropped from the Hobbit movie, huh?
Right. He was, that's the kind of the prequel to the Lord of the Rings movies, the trilogy. And there's apparently some kind of lawsuit that he's having with New Line Cinema over the distribution of the royalties for the Lord of the Rings. And he was kind of playing it big, saying, you know, we're not even going to talk about the Hobbit until we get this settled. And so New Line Cinema kind of made the decision for him and gave him a call over the weekend and told him, we're actually going to look for somebody else to direct this. So they're moving ahead with that project.
Wow.
It's kind of a big surprise there. I mean, that movie made billions worldwide.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, it'd be interesting. Maybe George Lucas would be the director, huh?
Maybe.
Or Ron Howard.
And then
last week's premiere, now 3 pounds. Now, how'd that do?
Got a 6.8 over 11, so they're calling that a disappointment. That's actually lower than what Smith premiered in that time slot. Smith, again, was canceled after 3 episodes, I believe.
Wow. So they're calling that a disappointment. Yeah, but, you know, it's funny. It's almost the same numbers that Jericho's been drawing.
Right. But I think they had high hopes for it. And another hospital drama, but it's kind of we've talked about that before. It's kind of there might be too many hospital dramas. I mean, you've still got ER on. You've got Grey's Anatomy now, the most popular show.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a hospital drama about neurosurgeons, it's kind of a slightly different tweak. But
yeah, maybe getting
I'm
sick
I'm waiting
of
for the new drama with a gynecologist.
That'll be the next one on Fox, I guess, huh?
Hey, you got the numbers for that new show on ABC that's taking Lost place for the next few
Daybreak?
Weeks?
Daybreak?
Yeah, Daybreak. It premiered last week in Lost Place. It came out with started out with 14 million viewers, but it lost is normally around 16.5 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of dropped throughout. I guess they had a 2-hour premiere, and it dropped every half hour.
Uh-huh.
By the end of the night, it was down to 10 million.
Oh,
so
that's not good.
A lot of people came over, but they didn't stay.
Huh.
You know, it's funny because I wasn't going to plan on watching it at all. I was like, I don't feel like watching it. But I accidentally taped that hour, hour, because my VCR is recording anyways for Lost.
Yeah.
So I watched Jericho, and I was like, I'll watch it. Why not? It was pretty good.
Really?
And then I went online, and I watched the second hour. I didn't see anything wrong with it.
Huh. I don't know.
I've got it taped. I'm going to try and pick it up this weekend.
Oh, maybe. I'll swing around. And then Galactica. Now, have you found the ratings for Galactica? I was wondering. You know, I have a feeling they're floundering, huh?
I still haven't seen the exact numbers, but I hear they're down around 1 million per episode.
Oh. Yeah, and then now they did the whole episode last week involving that guy from Mantis, what's his name, and it was a pretty good episode. He escaped from the Cylons and all that, and then turned out apparently that the Cylons let him escape so he can cause trouble with Adama, right?
There have been a lot of people in the message boards though talking about the timeline is wrong in the show, and I haven't sat down to really figure it out, but the other thing, though, is Adama... If I mean, everybody knows now that the Cylons have infiltrated, and they have for several years. I mean, they know about the Lucy Lawless character and Boomer and all of those. So, I mean, it's pretty obvious, or it should be, that the Cylons have been planning this for a long time. So the idea of Adama blaming himself for it because of this incursion into Cylon space is kind of, you know, a lot of people are having trouble with that. I thought it was a good episode as well, but it's getting a lot of criticism.
Yeah, I thought it was very good. It was an Adama episode, basically. And I like how Ty kind of came to the rescue at the end,
right.
And bought, what's his name, with the pole and all that stuff. And is Ty back, or is this just a temporary appearance by Ty?
Well, I haven't really heard. Koenig was talking about that last week. I thought he said he would be back, but I could be wrong about that. But it's a couple of weeks ago, it made it look like he was
done,
suicidal, like he might actually. I thought that might be the last scene of the episode, but now it's kind of looking like there might be some redemption there.
And they went back because Ty was involved with this thing with Adama and the Battlestar Valkyrie. And,
right, now that was kind of new too. That I guess the concept is that Adama was put on the older, kind of the dirtbag Battlestar as punishment. And I didn't really pick that up. I thought he had been commander of the Galactica for a long time, but I guess that's not the case.
What I got was the Valkyrie was a new ship, and after this incident that happened, maybe he was supposed to be the patsy for the whole thing. Because the higher-ups told him, we need to find out what's going on, and maybe they knew that would provoke a war, and maybe they're going to use Adama as a patsy, and when that...
Yeah.
incident happened, they say, all right, we're going to resign you to the crappy old Battlestar Galactica, because that's what I got. The Valkyrie was the new ship.
Yeah, the Valkyrie looked, I think it was the same model as they had for the Pegasus.
Yeah.
Definitely a newer one.
It was a good episode. I mean, some good drama between that Mantis character. Whatever, what's the character's name? I keep calling him Mantis, but he's not Mantis. Whatever he is,
Bulldog.
That's right, Bulldog. And at the end, of course, Adama gives him his uniform. He goes off to the fleet, so we're liable to see him again, in some role. So that was nice. You didn't kill him off. They did, Kane or anybody else. They sent him off to the fleet. Yeah. So maybe from time to time he'll show up again. Yeah.
Right. And you have the other subplot building, the Lucy Lawless, and she had the Centurion killer, so she could see what was between life and death.
Yeah, what was that all about? I'm like, she had them kill her, and then she, download herself to show her in the liquid coming out and everything. It's just like, what's going on here?
Right, but that's leading up to. Remember, we talked about this last summer. She's actually at some point going to decide that she is the Cylon god.
Oh.
And they kind of made it sound like that was. Baltar, that was kind of what he was telling her, in the second half of the episode with the virus.
Oh.
And so that's coming up pretty quickly, though. She's only going to be on, I think, 10 episodes. So that would mean that, I guess, 2 more episodes, they have to get to that point.
Moto Psycho is saying the thing about the timeline is that Gaeta, in a mini-series, thanked Adama for serving under his command for several years. Oh, yeah, that's true. So they kind of, this timeline is kind of out, unless Gaeta was with Adama on the Valkyrie and came over with him to the Galactica. That's the only thing I could think of, huh?
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. It's Moto Psycho says, that does not mean that Adama's command staff did not transfer with him from ship to ship. So, that's possible, So, I don't know. It was a good episode. Now, next week, Galactica's off for 2 weeks. And then when they come back, what's going to happen there? I don't know. I think they find Earth, right? No, I don't know.
Well, we definitely have, the Lucy Lawless thing that's going to be that's supposed to be a fairly major subplot.
You know what? I'm getting sick of seeing her. I'll be glad. When she's on for 10, I'll be glad when she's gone. Because, I like the characters we've gotten used to on the series. It's nice seeing her. But she's getting, I think, too much airtime. I'm sorry. I keep looking at her to whip out that thing and throw it across the room. If I'm Xena, or that lesbian to show up and then to have a little.
You're waiting for her to do that chant, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
We have the Baltar sandwich, though.
Baltar. I don't know. I'm she's a good actress. I'm just sick of looking at her. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. We need our Starbuck back. Where's she? She's kind of relegated to like supporting character status. We don't see much of her.
But she's coming back and getting involved. She's not sitting around being depressed about.
Yes.
God knows what. So it's kind of good to see her, even though she's a minor character now.
Well,
recently.
Well, hopefully it'll up to, you know, bring up the character. Once Lucy Lawless is gone, I think the rest of them will pick up the slack, huh?
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, and what else? We talked about who with the...
Right.
So we'll skip over that, okay? And then Heroes is doing real well in the ratings, huh?
Yeah, yeah, and last night was kind of the big night that they're building up to, the Save the Cheerleader, Save the World. I have to say I was a little bit disappointed. It was kind of a... It seemed like a minor storyline. Mm. I mean, they had some neat stuff, but it was kind of quick and then over.
Hmm. Well, yeah. I like the episode. It's pretty good. I like that scene with her father, her stepfather, whatever that guy is from Dynasty, and
right.
He was saying that, oh, and you understand what's going on here, so he knows more what's going on than that other person does, right?
Right, right. He's definitely looking like he's. Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
But kind of a good guy who's going about things without really any concern.
Yeah.
As the ends justify the means, so.
Yeah. And then we'll move over to Jericho. Yeah, I'm concerned for Jericho. Last week's episode was outstanding, I thought. The whole thing with Emily's wedding, they kept flashing back and forth to that. So that was what they did was very good.
Right. The whole thing with Ravenwood, the conflict with Ravenwood and the bridge.
Oh, yeah.
All of that was really good. Yeah, you've got to remember, though, last week was also the finale of Dancing with Stars.
Yeah, yeah. So
even people that don't watch that probably tuned over for that.
Yeah, I didn't. I can't stand that show. But and then they had the whole thing with Jake and the Ravenwind guy. And then, what's his name? Hawkins is a sniper because he shot one of the Ravenwind guys with the infrared thing, right? And then Johnston came back. He told Jake, shut your mouth, right?
Yeah. So who are they going to kill? What's your prediction?
Yeah, they're going to kill somebody off next week, right?
Yeah, I think tomorrow night, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. A lot of people are saying, I don't know. Who somebody in the main cast that they're going to kill off?
Well, that's what they're making it sound like.
Yeah.
One of their own
is going to die. Oh, boy. I don't know. I hope it's not poor Gracie Lee there from the store. You need her to run that store.
Yeah.
Who else could it be? I hope it's not the mother, Gail. She does a good job.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe, what's his name, Gray, the guy that was...
Gray Anderson. Oh.
Yeah, the running for mayor.
Yeah, I mean, they'll kill him off.
Is it tomorrow's Jericho's fall?
Next week. Week after tomorrow, right?
We've got two more weeks.
Yeah, but tomorrow they're going to kill somebody off on the main cast.
Oh, I thought tomorrow... was the last.
Yeah,
I know Prison Break has two episodes left.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Who, or one.
Who do you think, Net Ranger? Who do you think they're going to kill off?
I'm thinking Gray Anderson, probably.
Ooh, really? You don't think Johnston?
What's that?
You don't think Johnston? I don't think they just brought him out of the coma.
No, no.
The flu.
Carol Barbie said he was going to be on.
No, that's right. Yeah, she's keeping him.
Gray's kind of causing a lot of trouble, I think. Yeah, they could go and kill Emily's father or somebody like that. But I think
he saved the day, though.
What's that?
He saved the day for Jericho. If Eric didn't go get him from where that warehouse where they're at and box in the Ravenwood guys, they'd be screwed.
No, they're going to kill...
Hawkins?
I think she has no role left, really, in this...
Oh, Emily?
The one with the broken leg?
Oh.
Sprague Greeden.
That chick?
Oh, no, not
that
her.
Has a crush on...
Oh, Heather? They're going to kill her off?
Yeah, because she's not going to get together with
Jake.
The main character, which doesn't look like it looks like...
Yeah, Emily.
Was it Emily?
Emily, the pop blonde.
Looks like, they're probably look like they're rekindling their love.
Yeah, because that whole thing. And now, was Jake really in the church with her, or was that just a vision that she had that he came in?
That's kind of what she was wishing, is how I...
Yeah, because, and then there's a reason why, and her fiancé said in the vision that, you know the reason why you want to stay in Jericho, and basically they're looting because she'll still love a Jake.
Right.
Right, so it was an outstanding episode. And now, what's her name is pregnant. April is pregnant with Eric's wife, right?
Right, and she didn't get to tell Eric.
No.
Dropped the bomb. He was sleeping with the barmaid.
Yeah, and Gail was furious with Eric for dumping April because she doesn't know that April didn't tell Eric that she was pregnant.
Right.
So, I don't know. I can't figure out who they're going to kill off. Maybe Gray Anderson. He's in something, at least one, go ahead, kill him off. I hate to see them kill, maybe. I hope they don't kill off Stanley.